Hills Rugby Union podcast with Jeff Probyn. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to William Hill's Rugby Union podcast. It is the final week of the Six Nations and still all to play for. I'm Michael Casey and I to say, as ever, I'm joined on the line by former England international prop forward Jeff Probyn. Jeff, it's quite interesting. I've just casted my eye over the outright betting for the Six Nations and, well, it's almost as tight as it was 5-6 weeks ago at the start of the tournament, when almost no clearer. England 8-11, Ireland 13-8, and I suppose Wales have drifted a little bit now at 6-1. But all three sides, having lost once, all locked on 6 points.
Yeah, and don't forget there's the outside chance that France could actually win it.
Well, France aren't even priced up, but yeah, of course, if they beat England, Scotland beat Ireland, and Italy beat Wales, and the points go in their favour. It's not going to happen.
It won't happen. But it don't forget, it's a possibility. If it was there for a bet, I'm sure it'd be something like about 10,000 to one against.
So maybe price, probably. I think
it could be worth a pound if you're feeling brave. Yeah, it's been a bit of a messy championship, really. No one's really stood up there. We all expected Wales to do very well at the start of the championship. They didn't. Great result by England, obviously, in winning that game. Ireland were the team that stood up and played. They lost the Grand Slam last week, shall we say, rather than Wales beating them. And from that point of view, no side has really stood out with perfection. Certainly England against Scotland had the opportunity to score tries and made childish and silly mistakes. They won the game, but they should have won it more clearly, and that would have put them in the driving seat. They are slightly in the driving seat still, but they have it all to do against France.
Yeah, as you said, that one of the kind of things that's come out from the victory over Scotland was how many points were left on the field by England, particularly in that first half. So they hold just four points better difference in Ireland, if that's making sense, in the championship race, yet are 8-11. I know that you've been keen on Ireland all the way through. I fancied Wales in week one, and I tell you what, I think at 6-1 they're a bet, because for me, Italy, after the heroics against France, against Scotland, were absolutely dreadful against France last week. I thought they were absolutely abject, and I think that what are Wales now? They're plus 12, so they've got some catching up to do. Admittedly, 25 points worse off points difference wise than England, but I don't know. I think at 6-1, there's an outside shot there for Wales, Jeff.
Well, I'm not so sure. I think the Italians will be playing with pride. It's Jack Brunel's last game for them. It's a chance for them to show what they can do in front of their home crowd. They let their home crowd down badly last week against France. You just can't see it happening twice for the Italian side. Every team that goes to Rome struggles. The Irish struggled in the first game playing in Rome. The Italians showed that they're not a bad side. The game against England, they put three tries past England, had six tries scored against them, which were really only four. I mean, the Billy Vinopola try and the Ben Youngs try should not have been allowed, but they were. So the Italians showed well. Last week, for some reason, they just fell apart. The game against Scotland in Scotland, they performed heroically. But last week at home against the French, wasn't at all a good game. I think that's partly because of the way the French have been playing this season. The French have been so difficult to actually pin down because they've been so bad. I think the Italians tend to raise their game when they're faced with opposition that play in a certain way, and I think that Wales will play in a certain way. The big thing for Wales is that they're down desperately on their front rows, aren't they? They've had so many injuries, and that could be a big key in the game.
I've played a particular interest to the issue of the Wales front row, because I'm actually there's a chap called Tom Francis who was called into the training squad who plays with Exeter, who I actually play Colts rugby with. He's missed out this weekend, but there has been two forced changes in the Wales side. at proper. Scott Baldwin's coming on the one side, and
It's Aaron Jarvis, Rob Evans
who's
coming. They're two young props. I mean, both
Scott Baldwin at hooker, of course.
Yeah, both quite good players. You know, they're thereabouts. They've got the skill. But what we have noticed is when Wales have been called on to bring in these reserve players, their scrum has suffered and they've been pushed backwards. Against an Italian side that have brought back Castro Giovanni, and who are a good scrummaging unit, it may be that Wales won't have it all their own way.
Well, this brings us nicely on to the first game. But before we move on, Jeff, are you going to stick with your guns as you have all tournaments and say that the tournament champions, the 2015 Six Nations champions, going to be Ireland at 13-8.
All right, we'll stick to that at 13-8. I think you know, my heart always says England, but my head says that this is going to be a very, very hard game at Twickenham, and it's going to be a very, very close result. And I think that the Ireland-Scotland game, Ireland will get the points that they need to win the tournament.
Okay, I'm going to put a speculative £10 on Wales thrashing Italy and lifting the tournament. But here we go. First game of the weekend then, and all eyes back to Rome as it is Italy versus Wales. With regards to the betting, as you might expect, Wales on the back of the first defeat of the Irish are firm favourites, 1-14 to win this one. Italy 15-2. You made the point, and we'll look at it again, no Samson Lee. Maybe a little bit of pressure on the Irish scrum with the old head Martin Castro Giovanni coming back into that Italian scrum. Do you think this could maybe a bit more tricky than that 1-14 favouritism on Wales suggests?
Well, you know, last time they played last year, it was only 8 points difference, I think, 8 points difference, and that was in Cardiff. So, admittedly, it was the first game of the tournament, so Wales have improved and they've got better. We've still not seen Wales fire on all cylinders in this championship, and the Italians, as we say last week, were very disappointing, but they will attack this Welsh scrum. And if you're on the back foot, as England showed against Wales, when they put Wales on the back foot, the backs, even though you've got this fantastic back line with Jamie Roberts, with Davis, with North, with Williams, you've got the, if you're on the back foot, you don't get the ball in the right places, it's very, very difficult. Admittedly, the Italians don't have Sergio Paresi, the icon of their side, but it's about time that they learnt to play without him. We could see a very different game. It's Jack Brunel's last game. I'm not saying that Italy are going to win, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than the 20 points that Wales need.
So you'd give Italy the plus 23 head start on the handicap then at 10-11, perhaps?
I certainly would. I think, you know, I actually see this game being an 8-15 points. That's a maximum.
You mentioned there's no Sergio Parisi, the talismanic captain for Italy, so Leonardo Giraldini is going to captain the Italians. Mauro Bergamasco comes back into the side, as is Kelly Haimona. Mentioned Martin Castro Giovanni in the squad also. Michel Rizzo also recalled. We'll just have a look at some of the other bets available then. Winning margin lies, one that we quite like, tends to offer some pretty attractive prices. I guess Italy 6-10. Wales by 6-10 points. Wales by 11-15 points fall into that sort of remit of where you're expecting the game to go. They're 8-1 and 6-1 respectively. So big prices available there. Try scorers also worth looking at in the betting, as you might expect. The favourite being George North. He's 4-9 any time. Reese Webb 5-6. Got two already this tournament. If you're fancying a bigger price, Luca Marisi obviously scored twice against England, the centre in 7-1 any time. Are there any particular players you fancy to dot down?
Well, Liam Williams has got to be, there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
He's, you know, for the Welsh, he's been brought in at the side above Cuthbertson. You know, he was touted when Cuthbert was playing. So in that sense, he's got to perform. He's got to show something. And this is the game where you'd expect him to take his chance and maybe score a try or two. So it's his last chance, really, before this Six Nations is over to stake his claim for that winger spot.
Yeah, 4-5, Liam Williams to score any time then. The second game on Saturday, or three games being played on Saturday, of course, this final weekend is up in Murrayfield, and Jeff's champions elect, perhaps, Ireland face Scotland. It's 100-30. The Scots 1-4, Ireland the handicap 9 points. So the traders are pricing this up as if it's going to be a competition. Two changes for both sides. interestingly for Ireland, for me, Luke Fitzgerald included on the wing for Joe Smith's men. Keane Healy is recalled at loose head for Scotland. Adam Ash replaces Rob Harley at blindside flank, and at loose head, Ryan Grant is in for Alistair Dickinson. All the same as last week, those aside. So how do you see this one? I'm assuming, given what we know about your fancy for Ireland to be crowned champions, you think they're going to win this one, and you'd have to say by a few points.
I do. I actually think this is going to be maybe Ireland between 15 and 20 points. I think that the Irish side of they didn't really get off the ground last week against Wales. They had a bit of misfortune in that the English referee Wayne Barnes awarded a penalty try and then gave a penalty to Wales that would have in exactly the same circumstances that would have seen Ireland win had he had gone the other way. You know, realistically, the Irish side, although it was a dire game, it was an intense game, the Ireland-Wales game, but it wasn't good in terms of running rugby. What we've seen with Scotland is they are prepared to try and run the ball and try to play rugby. I think they've been reasonably lucky in some of their games that they've played this season. I think in this game, Ireland will basically strangle them, suffocate them, and we'll put the points on the board.
Yeah, I think points is an interesting one. One probably to keep an eye out across the weekend, obviously, with the points difference probably going to be the determining factor this weekend. Maybe this will be something for the in-play bettors to look at the points line and looking at overs. I think Ireland are obviously, as you mentioned, going to try and force the issue here. They need to win by a bigger score than England will win. And I think that the inclusion of Luke Fitzgerald maybe just makes him something you've got to. But I've always liked Luke Fitzgerald as a player. He's had his issues with injury, his back fit, but for me, he is a very classy finisher, and he's a 2-1 price any time for a try. I think that makes a good bet, Jeff.
No, I think he's a good bet. I mean, you know, the Irish, we haven't really seen the Irish backline working at all in this championship. We've seen them doing very good kick and chase following Sexton's kicks to get in there, but we haven't really seen them cut loose. One thing against Ireland is they'll get the opportunity, and Fitzgerald coming back inside, Luke Fitzgerald, as you say, a great finisher. Tommy Bow, a great finisher we haven't seen much of. Rob Kearney is the second highest in terms of metres run in this championship, behind Mike Brown. So all in all, you know, they have had the opportunities, but they haven't really shown anything. This is a chance for them to show something. The way that Scotland play, it will suit the Irish. It's going to be, obviously, a big forward battle. As I say, I think the Scots miss Richie Gray very much. They did okay last week, but not really great. So I'm expecting the Irish to step up to the plate a little bit more. Obviously, from the Scots' point of view, they need to try and win this game. Because they don't want to finish with a wooden spoon. I can't see Scotland winning this game, but as I say, between a 15-point win to Ireland, I think will just about be enough to see them home for the Six Nations.
Okay, the other try scorer you mentioned there, Tommy Bow 7-4, Rob Kearney 3-1. Maybe throw Robbie Henshaw into that mix as well. Obviously, scored the try against England. The winning margin live bet, Ireland by 11-15 points, is currently backable at 5-1. And the final game of the weekend comes from Twickenham. It's England versus France. And England, as we've mentioned, are 8-11 favourites to lift the trophy. They're 1-4 favourites to see themselves past Philippe Saint-André's men, who are 100-30. The handicap is 10 points, Jeff. You'll be there, I'd imagine. How do you call it?
Well, my head and my heart say England will win. And I think England will win because of the Twickenham factor. I think that they've not quite made it a fortress yet, but they've started building the balustrades. This French side have been so appalling throughout this championship in the way they've played. But despite that, they got that result in Italy last week, which was they kept a clean sheet against the Italians. As much as it was a messy game, what we did see is that they do have a set of forwards that are easily capable of competing with England's forwards, and they're backed if they're firing all cylinders. And I think by bringing Pilsson into the team rather than Lopez playing, there's more chance of the French backs actually playing with the ball, and that makes a threat for England. I think this is going to be probably the game of the Six Nations. It will be very tense and very, very close.
So on that logic, probably on the handicap betting at least, siding with France with a 10-point head start?
Well, I would do on the handicap betting. I think that, you know...
Does it hurt saying that, Jeff?
It does hurt saying it, but I think that the reality is I think that England will win this game by no more than about 3 to 5 points.
Fair enough. You mentioned the changes for France there. Obviously, Jules Pilsen in place of Camille Lopez. Eddie Bernerau is out of the squad as well. I think it's Vincent Debatty is going to replace him in the front row. For England, it's just one change. Jeff Parlin comes in for Dave Attwood. Nick Easter included on the bench. Let's talk try scorers and England try scorers, because there's a better one to mention here, Jeff. And now, I'm not one to gloat, but in the first week of the podcast, we said top try scorer of the Six Nations 2015. The selection was Jonathan Joseph, and I believe, although you might be able to confirm this for me, he's currently top of the tree, and I think with 4 tries, 13-8 to get one on Saturday.
Yes, he is top of the tree, and I hate to say this, but you did actually say back him, and I think the odds were 33-1. So anyone who were listening and followed your advice will be sitting there smiling and hoping that he adds that total. He's not that far in front of a few other players, it has to be said,
no.
But he is currently ahead of the table. Obviously, from an England point of view, I'd like to see him score. We need something from Andrew Watson again. We need Mike Brown to be firing on all cylinders. I think with Brown and Watson, they combined well in that first game against Wales to set up that try. Jack Noel is, what can I say? He's an exciting runner, and he's very powerful. He gets involved. But he dies with the ball every time. He's not looking for players. And England need to be looking for players around them. They're going to need to do offloads. Currently, France, despite the fact they are playing so badly, are leading the offload table in terms of the number of offloads played by their players. They do have some very experienced backlines. They've got a lot of power in that backline. Yes, they've got Bastereau sitting on the bench, but Spedding coming in you know, at fullback has given them extra strength and power coming in from the fullback line. And he played particularly, you know, in what was an appalling game, Spalding played actually quite well against the Italians. He did launch counter-attacks from deep. He did take advantage of when there was space in front of him to run. You can expect him to do a bit more of that against England. He will be more cagey against England, obviously, because of we've got a very good defence. Well, I say we've got a very good defence, but we did let in 3 tries with Scotland. So, you know, England need to step up to the plate, and this French team won't give us an easy ride for the game, that's for sure.
I think you make an interesting point about Jack Noel, and he does die with the ball quite a bit, maybe when he should be looking for his support lines. And from a rugby point of view, that's not great. But from a betting point of view, it's not bad, because he's almost got a degree of selfishness about him. And if you're backing him to score any time and he makes a fantastic break, beats 3 players and then offloads to Dan Cole in support, unlikely, but it ruins your bet, doesn't it?
So it does, it does. I mean, he's a person to stick a bet on, you know, because he has got... there's no doubt he has got he's got pace. He's a strong runner. He's just probably a bit young. He'll become a worse bet as he gets more older and more experienced and understands the players around him.
He's 2-1 any time. You mentioned Mike Brown 9-4. Anthony Watson, you mentioned, of course, 15-8. Jonathan Joseph 13-8. I think I'd stick with Noel out of that bunch. And as you mentioned, Scott Spedding for France, he's an 11-2 any time. And I think if I was throwing in an any time try score, I'd maybe add Gael Ficou in there, the French 13. Very exciting.
Also Nakatakatui or whatever he
is. Nakiataki, quick, yeah. Isn't he?
He's quick. He's also keen. You know, he got involved a few times. Was closed down quite well, but you know, he's keen. He's got pace. He's got to be someone to watch.
Sure. So just to surmise, then the winning margin line, you fancy this one to be very close. England by 1 to 5 points.
Yeah, that's my best bet.
11-2 for that. Interestingly, if you are fancying the handicap betting, I've just gone through the 3 games on the back of your selections there. So Italy plus 23 points, Ireland minus 9 points, and France plus 10 points. And as a treble, that returns 9.95 to 1, so just short of 6-1 there, which could be a bit of value to keep you entertained throughout the day.
Yeah. And I mean, it's going to be a great game of rugby, a great weekend of rugby, a great day of rugby, Saturday. And the fact that these games are back on each other, England at least know what they have to do, but France also know what they have to do. So, you know, we could get to a situation at the end where It's highly unlikely, it's got to be said, but where France know that they have to beat England to win this championship.
Jeff, I hope that's not the case, but thank you very much for your company over the last few weeks. Fingers crossed we have some more winning bets to celebrate at the end of this weekend, and I look forward to speaking to you, I'd assume, in the summer.
I hope so too.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.